السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Thank you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in Surah Al-Muzzammil that verily we have sent to you a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is addressing to the Quraysh and then the whole Ummah until the day of Qiyamah. But first addresses were Quraysh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we have sent to you a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be a witness over you, as we did send a messenger Musa alaihi salam to Fir'aun. Now, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen out of all the prophets, 124,000 prophets approximately, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in this verse, and warn the Quraysh, the people of Makkah, that be careful if you don't follow and obey this prophet of yours, which who is amongst you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is born in Makkatul Mukarramah in front of you, is grown up in front of you, and is most, you know, As-Sadiq Al-Amin, and his character is sublime, and you know him from the day one. Now he's proclaiming that he is the messenger of Allah, and he is claiming and inviting towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you people better obey him. Because similarly, we have sent our messenger, our prophet to Bani Israel, Jewish, and they did not obey Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them and drowned them into the ocean. If you people don't follow and obey this prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is amongst you as a shahid, as a witness over you people, then your result or your end also will be similar to the qawm of Musa alayhi salam, to the people of Musa alayhi salam. Now Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is the most mentioned prophet in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the name of Musa alayhi salam in the Holy Quran about 136 times. The most name has been mentioned in the Holy Quran is the name of Musa alayhi salam, and his story has been mentioned in about 34 chapters and surahs of the Holy Quran. 34 chapters. So now and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran has given the example of Musa in Bani Israel, Musa in Fir'aun, Musa in what happened to them and all. So ulama explain the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Prophet Musa alayhi salam in similarity with Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatimun Nabiyyin, Rahmatulil Alameen, Sayyidul Mursaleen. There are many reasons, because there are many similarities between Musa alayhi salam and between our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will go through few of them. Number one, Musa alayhi salam and our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both are ulul azm prophets, steadfast. There are only five prophets who are steadfast: Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and then our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So out of these five steadfast ulul azm prophets, one of them was Musa alayhi salam. This is one similarity. The second, both the prophets have been given a divine book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed Torah, the Old Testament, and upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed most authentic book, the Holy Quran. The third similarity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken with Musa alayhi salam out of all the prophets, direct kalam, that's why his nickname was Kalimullah. Direct conversation was only with Musa alayhi salam. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only invited our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj to the heaven and spoken directly without veil on the arsh. So this is the similarity. Number four, they were brought up without parents. If you study the beginning period of Musa alayhi salam, because of the fear of Fir'aun that he was killing the newborn babies, so his mother, because of there was a divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahi to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's mother, they put Musa alayhi salam, newborn baby, into the basket and put him into the river Nile, and he came up to the palace of the Fir'aun, and Hazrat Asiya has picked up and brought up into the palace. So without parents, he was abroad in the palace of Fir'aun. Likewise, our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also when he was born, his father was already passed away, and within 4 years his mother passed away. So his uncle, first his grandpa Abdul Muttalib, then later on Hazrat Abu Talib, his uncle, brought him up. So both, upbringing without parents. Parent did not upbring them. The person, the fifth similarity, the person who brought them up did not believe in them. Fir'aun, in his palace, he was abroad in front of his eyes, but he did not believe in him. Likewise, Abu Talib, although he abroad him, he was his guardian, taking care of him physically, financially, emotionally, socially. But towards the end, he did not believe in him. He died without reciting the kalima. Likewise, the Quraysh, amongst whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was abroad, and they did not embrace his Islam, did not believe in him. So this is one of the similarities. Number six, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them several miracles, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to the old Anbiya alayhim salam. Number seven, both have large ummah to follow. Amongst all the prophets, if you count Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, longest period of tabligh, 950 years, but handful people, 80 plus, accepted Islam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, we don't find anyone except Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and his wife Hazrat Sarah and Hazrat Hajra. Likewise, if you count all the Isa alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, they never had a huge number of followers, the ummah. But Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel, they were a large number. Likewise, our Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be biggest in amount. On the day of Qiyamah, the large number will be the followers of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number eight, both have a very tyrant open enemies. Once they proclaim about their prophethood, the enemies against them, for Musa alayhi salam was Fir'aun, how tyrant he was. And this side, Abu Jahl, how tyrant he was. It is said that Abu Jahl was the Fir'aun of this Ummah. He was Fir'aun of this Ummah. Number 9. Both the enemies used to torture the believers very severely, mercilessly. You know the torture and zulam and oppressions of Fir'aun. How he used to kill the Bani Israel, torture them and abuse them. Likewise, the Quraysh of Makkah, when Sahaba used to embrace Islam, Abu, like Hazrat Bilal, Hazrat Suhail, Hazrat Ammar, you know, the beginners, Muslims, they had to go through the trials and tribulations and tortures and hardship. So that is the one of the similarity between Musa al-Islam and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 10, both got Nubuwat on top of mountain. Hazrat Musa al-Islam was searching for the fire and he found the fire on top of the Mount Tur, Jabal-e-Tur. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced and talked to him that I am your Lord and I am making you my prophet. And here also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was meditating on the Jabal-e-Nur, which is the cave of Hira on it. And after, at the age of 40, Hazrat Jibril Islam appeared in front of him by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declare him as a final messenger of Allah. So both of them got Nubuwat on top of the mountain, Musa alayhi salam on the Mount Tur, and our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Mount Nur, Jabal-e-Nur. Number 11, both have to migrate from their birthplace to protect their lives. When Musa alayhi salam killed by mistake, accidentally, a Qibti, one of the soldiers of Fir'aun, he just slapped him and he punched him and died. So he had to flee from the Misr to Madian, a strange place. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Quraysh made a plan to kill him, attack him, assassinate him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to protect his life towards Madina Munawwara. Musa alayhi wasallam towards Madian and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards Madina Munawwara. Number 13, number 12, both have a very close friend. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam had Yusha bin Nun, who used to be with Musa alayhi salam all the time, Yusha bin Nun. And after the demise of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him also Nubuwat. And this side, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, since he embraced Islam, he was like a shadow with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam in every occasion, in every circumstances. Number 13, Musa alayhi salam, prior to the Nubuwat, he was herding the goats and sheep of Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam in Madian. Similarly, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam also used to graze the goats and sheep of the people of Makkah prior to the Nubuwat. Number 14, for both of them, their wives proposed to get married with them. This is also one of the similarity. When Musa alayhi salam helped them, these two daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam, to pull the water from the well and in the water to the goats and sheep, and they went to the dads and he said, why you came so early today? He said, there is a young man, very honest, very humble, very polite, and is full of shy. And why don't you bring him and hire him as our servant? So the Hazrat Safura, the elder daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam, expressed her desire first to get married with Musa alayhi salam. And then Shu'aib alayhi salam called him and make the treaty that you must work for me for 8 years or 10 years, and then we'll go perform the nikah with my daughters. Here also, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he hired him as a manager of his caravan, and because of his honesty and truthfulness, she got impressed by his akhlaq and character, and she proposed to get married, just like Hazrat Safura proposed to get married with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Number 15, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam on the sixth heaven at the night of Miraj. And he is the one we should appreciate that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam forced and convinced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because initially it was 50 times salah a day. In one day, that was a gift granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 50 times salah. And happily, willingly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that gift, and he came down already to the sixth heaven. And here Musa alayhi wa sallam was waiting. He wanted to know, he was very curious, that you are the only lucky Nabi of Allah. Curiously, you know, you have that opportunity to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without veil, directly. What gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to your ummah? He happily said 50 times salah a day. Here Musa alayhi salam has experience of Bani Israel. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the experienced prophet. I came before you and I have large number, Bani Israel. Upon my ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only made faraz and compulsory two salat. Two. Fajr and Asr. And yet, they were not praying these two salah. Your ummah is very weak ummah. How are they going to perform the 50 salat a day? You better go up and ask, request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce the amount. So he went back, came again, went back, came again. Eventually he left five. So this also, the great favor of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam upon this ummah, that he convinced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reduce the amount. Otherwise, it will be very difficult and impossible for us to perform the 50 times salat every single day. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينَكَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ بِهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَى قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى قَالَ خُذْ وَلَا تَخَفْ سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَةَ الْأُولَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam, what is that in your right hand, O Musa alayhi salam? He said, this is my stick, stuff, whereon I lean. It is the sabab, it is the means of my assistance, is helping me to lean on it. And we believe that we only seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every salat. Iyaka na'budu. Ya Allah, we only worshipping you. Wa iyaka nasta'in. And we only seek protection and help and assistance from you alone. And here Musa alayhi salam said, Qala asaya. First his claim that this stuff, this stick is belong to me. I am the owner of this thing. And then he started counting the benefit of that stuff. That this is so beneficial to me. I lean upon it. He assists me. Then I shake the branches and, you know, the leaves fall down for my sheep, right? And then I have several. I have so many benefits in it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him the lesson. Allah ta'ala said, Alqiha. Now, Alqiha is the command, Amr, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had to drop it off. Like, for example, I'm telling you that this is the latest cell phone, iPhone 17, and he has so many features. You got AI, you got best camera, you got so many applications. I'm counting the benefit of this phone and you're telling me throw it. Am I going to do it? Is the logic, is there any reason behind it? It's so beneficial, so expensive phone, you can throw it. So here Musa alayhi salam is counting the benefit of stuff, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Khiha, throw it. Because it was the command of Allah, so Musa alayhi salam threw it. Up till there it was very beneficial. Now, as soon as he is thrown into the earth, it changed his body and it became a serpent, a huge serpent, like python. Now, the same thing which Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was counting the benefits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the same item into the harmful thing. And this is the first of the lesson we all have to learn and keep in mind. Allah is in Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah can turn and beneficial items into the harmful things, and harmful things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn into the beneficial thing. Now, when it became serpent as a human being, Musa alayhi salam got very scared. Wala, in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Walla mudbiran walam yu'aqib. And this is obviously if the snake comes in right now, none of us going to stay here. We're all going to run out, this door, that door. Right? Because serpent is python, is moving. Very poisonous snake. Hayyatun is a very poisonous snake. If you see it, we're all going to be scared as a human being, we're going to run away. So Musa alayhi salam also, Walla mudbiran walam yu'aqib, he didn't even look at back. He was so scared. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded second time, Khudha. And this is the imtihan, this is the test. First it was stuff, beneficial item. Musa alayhi salam used to lean upon it. Right? Now the same item changed into the harmful thing, a moving snake. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding and ordering to grab it. Who can grab it? Who can do like that? So this is another lesson for us, my brothers and sisters, that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come to us in any circumstances, in any condition. Sometimes it looks beneficial to us, and sometimes it looks very harmful and difficult to us. For example, Fajr Salat is 5 o'clock. It's very hard most of us to wake up and break our sleep, you know, and come to the masjid. We think, what will be the difference if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Fajr Salat 7 o'clock? After sunrise, we could have come easily, right? It will be more beneficial to come and wake up after Fajr, you know, sunrise, and come for Fajr Salat. After 2 hours, if you pray Fajr Salat, what's the problem? No, that is a test. Sometimes the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly looks difficult and hard, and like the snake. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding to grab the snake. But our tawakkul, our reliance should be on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not see in which condition this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in which circumstances this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, whether it is suitable or is not suitable, is convenient or not convenient. As a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all have to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless outwardly it looks beneficial or harmful. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hayya ala salah. Now there are so many customers lined up in our shop. Now here Muazzin is calling us, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. Come to the salat, come to the falah. This is the command of Allah. Hayya, run, rush. Now outwardly we are looking, if we're going to close the door right now, I'm going to lose so many customers. They're going to go to some other shops. I'm going to lose the money. Like, but if you obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instantly and close the shop regardless and say, sorry, I had to go to the pray my salah. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can come after half an hour. That's the iman. That's the tawakkul. And that's the required inner power to act on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regardless whether it's is suitable for us or not suitable to us. And this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has changed the wooden stick into the serpent, you know, which is a lifeless thing into the lifeful thing, right? Snake. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in some other place, that تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah is that powerful being who can bring the lifeless thing from the lifeful thing, from the life thing. For example, an axe comes out from the hand, and then from the axe Allah brings out the chick. Egg is lifeless, right? And from lifeless thing the chick is coming out, life. And from the chicken the eggs come out, which is lifeless. Here also, stuff, from the stuff to the serpent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُزْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَةَ الْأُولَى. You have to believe in me and obey my command. Don't worry about your life. Grab it. I will return it back as it was before. And that's exactly Musa alayhi salam did. You know, even he was scared of it, but because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grabbed it. Once he grabbed it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately turned that serpent into the stuff again. So, this is the great lesson for us. We all believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and they stayed fast on their claim till they die. Regardless what's happening outside, sometimes it's suitable, sometimes it's not suitable, sometimes it looks very harmful, sometimes it looks beneficial. As a servant, regardless, we have to obey the each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do so with tawakkul, with ikhlas, with sincerity, and with total devotion and concentration and firm, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا خُفْنَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا مِيَحْزَنُونَ. This kind of the believers, they will have no worry and no concern.